Assalamu alaikum and peace, and welcome to this episode of Misconceptions. My name is Muhammad Hashim, and in the studio today we have Yusuf Estes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
We also have with us today our studio audience. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Inshallah, today on our show Misconceptions, we'll be talking about the many misconceptions surrounding the pillars of faith. How many pillars and what it's all about, and where do these misconceptions come from. So where can we start, Sheikh, talking about the pillars of faith?
Now, I guess the best thing to do is to start with the number of pillars of faith. The overall idea in Islam is to have iman, or faith. Then we have these six clear principles of faith that each Muslim must confirm and believe in to actually be a Muslim. If one of them is lacking, then it wouldn't really be the faith of Islam anymore. Or if there's a corruption in the belief of the pillars. So that's why it is critical. And they are called pillars, really, because they support the whole faith itself. Without these pillars, we really don't have Islam.
So just a foundation.
Coming from the foundation, actually. These are going to lay the groundwork for everything we're going to do after this faith.
Okay.
And the first one is called the belief in God. The second one is called the belief in angels or malaika. Another one is called the belief in the books, the belief in the prophets, the belief in a day of judgment, and the belief in predestination. That's usually how we translate these words into the English language. And to get some idea of these different misconceptions, it might be a good idea right now to turn to our studio audience and ask them what misconceptions people may have. Who has the first question?
Yes, Sheikh, I have a question, please. What do we believe about God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Okay.
Oh, that's a big question. What do we believe about God? What about God? And
yeah, the way he said it is proper, too, because it's not just to say we believe in God, but what do we believe in God?
Okay.
And if you said, well, I believe in God, does that make me a Muslim? No. Almost every religion out there has got some kind of God associated with it, right? So that wouldn't necessarily say they're a Muslim. But their belief that they have in another religion might be closer to Islam than they think. For instance, the first and foremost thing we always say as Muslim, God is one. Well, a Christian or a Jew might say right away, well, wait a minute, we're saying the same thing. Does that make us Muslims? No, not yet. Not until we look at how you understand that belief in God. When we say he's one, we mean he's so uniquely one, it's impossible for him to be like the creation, because that would be two, or some number more than that. He is so uniquely different from his creation. That's another point. And he's never in his creation. Some of the things that we know about Allah, for instance, help us to make distinction between other beliefs and also overcome problems that people will come with questions. We've talked about it in other programs, and we're overlapping a bit, but it's good to mention it again, that we say, because Allah is not in the creation, he's not affected by the problems and things that come about in the creation.
Any actions from creation, he doesn't get affected whatsoever.
No, because, as an example, somebody could say, well, can God do this and can God do that? Could he walk over here? Could he build this? Could he? The things that Allah does, he just says be and it is.
Yeah.
That's how he does it. He doesn't get into the creation and start working on stuff and moving things around. And so that's an irrelevant question, because he's not like us. He's not human. He's not human-like. And he's not anything like. He is the greater than. That's why we say Allahu Akbar, greater than anything. He's just Allah. Without gender, we've mentioned that before too, not male, not female.
That's really important, because everyone says, why do you call him he? And
people... It's out of respect only. Yeah. He calls himself he, so we say the same thing.
Yeah.
But he makes it clear to us he's not even like a human or an animal or anything, so don't even get that kind of concept. We don't try to imagine even what God is like. That's very important. Don't say he's like, or try to imagine what he would look like, smell like, taste like, hear, sound like, etc., because none of those things are relevant to Almighty God. And I think that's the first part. So we negate, and then we confirm what he says about himself is his characteristics, that he is the knowledge. He is the peace. He is the loving. He is the merciful, the forgiving. These characteristics are, as they say, Isma wa Safa, the names and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we know from them is He's the ultimate, the epitome, and there is nothing in the creation having that except it had come from Him, like knowledge, etc.
So if an individual believes in all that, does it make them a Muslim?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. But it's certainly good. The other thing is we would imagine about ourselves that we are a creation of Him, and He is the only one providing for us. So all of our worship has to be for Him. Thanksgiving is only to Him. And praise and prayers and supplications, calling upon Him, all of these things have to be to Him and not to anything He created. There's no way to reach Him except direct. Going through anything else immediately cancels it. So then these are all subjects we've dealt with in other programs, but I'm just going back and summarizing some of these.
Yeah.
And now I think it's important to go to the next question, which is talking about the subject of the angels. Yes, brother.
Yes, I have a question. What about angels?
That's perfect. What about the angels?
Yes.
If you just said, for instance, I believe in angels.
Yeah.
What do you believe about them? The early Arabs, before Islam, they said that the angels were females. Girls. And you see this in Christianity. They put these little cherubs, you know, it'll look like a woman angel and things like that.
A certain description of wings and...
Yeah, Allah negates that in the Quran. In the Quran itself, Allah tells us that's not the case. Because He says, look, you're attributing to me something you don't want. Because the Arabs didn't want to have girls. They used to take little baby girls to the desert and bury them alive. They didn't want them. That's how horrible a society they lived in. Therefore, when we talk about the angels, we don't say that they're females.
Male or female.
We let that go. We refer to them as He, like the angel Gabriel and Michael, or the angel, they would say Michael. The angel of death, they always say He about them. Whether or not you're talking about gender doesn't really matter because the angels don't procreate anyway. The angel Gabriel has been here since day one and he'll be till the end. He's the archangel or Holy Spirit, Ruach Kadosh. We talked about that in another of our programs. Don't want to elaborate too far, but just to stay on this subject, what we do believe about them that is so important is that Allah created them from light. Light itself is not observable by the eye until it hits something and reflects back.
Okay.
So as light passes through the universe, you don't see that light until something is there. Did you know that?
No.
So this is a good example of what the angels are. That's why you can't see them. You don't see them until Allah lets this light reflect in some way. Then you say, oh, this is this or that. That's actually an angel. Allah can make it look like somebody or something, you know. But as soon as He doesn't want it to show for you anymore, you won't see it.
Disappear.
Exactly. And still be there, but you can't see it. Like you cannot see light. For instance, between you and I right now, it looks like empty space, right?
Yeah.
There really is nothing between you and I except the things that are, like amoeboids, things like that, and light. Okay? But I can't see the light until it hits something.
Okay.
But I put my hand here, now I can see that. I see the light on that.
Okay.
But I move it, and where's that light at now? It went all the way over there.
Went through all the way.
Same way for the angels. You can't see them. This is clear what Allah said about them. They're made from light. Next thing, it doesn't say it in this belief, but we associate it with it right away, is Allah created another group of beings after He created angels. He created something called jinn. It's not mentioned in this pillar, but it's immediately associated with it because the jinn are made from what? A fire without smoke. Again, you don't see that very well. It's hard to see something that's just hot unless there's something burning, actually burning there, or something
burning
being
it.
Consumed, like with smoke, etc. So we believe in angels having what? Now, this is what's important about the angels, to believe that they have no free choice. They only do what Allah wants them to do. They never, ever disobey Allah. Here's my reason for bringing up the jinn. The jinn can disobey Allah, and they do disobey Allah, some of them. In fact, the devil himself is not a fallen angel.
Some jinns don't?
Yes, so they have free choice, so they can do what they want to do. The angel concept in Christianity and in Judaism of having a fallen angel that becomes the devil, is a mistake, because in the Quran it's clear that he was a jinn praying alongside of angels, but when he refused to obey Allah by bowing down at the creation of Adam, that's when he became cast out, rejected. Irajim. He's the rejected devil. So that's how we understand angels, and it's important to mention about the jinn as a side note here to be sure we understand the devil is not from them. The jinn have free will. Some are Muslim, some are not. And again, it's not our purpose to go deep into that, but we want to mention it so we know who the angels are and who they're not. Let's come to the next question. Who has a question?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
What books are we talking about?
Oh, the books. Yes, when we say we believe in the books. Okay. Yeah, because if you said in general, somebody could say, yeah, I believe in War and Peace, the Encyclopedia, the Dictionary. This is not the books we're talking about. Mm. We're talking about all of the books that came from Almighty God in Revelation, all the way back to the very first until the Quran itself.
Okay.
This is going to be including the Old Testament books, the New Testament books, the Last Testament, which is the Quran, but only in the original form, the original language, and the only one that exists today is the Quran, but it talks about those other books.
Well, I think that's very important, because a lot of non-Muslims think that we don't believe in any other books before the, you know.
Yeah, we believe in the origin of those
books. The origin
books,
of the books.
But we're not going to accept a translation of something or a copy of something without a verification back to the authentic original. And the only original left is the Quran.
Okay, Sheikh, I'll just put that on hold for a sec. We're going to go to a quick break, inshallah. You're watching Misconceptions with me, Muhammad Hashim. Assalamu alaikum. Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to this show of Misconceptions. Just before the break, we're talking about the different books in Islam and the different misconceptions about what we understand about the books. And Sheikh was just saying that we need to understand the origin and know the origin of the books, not just any of the books.
Yeah, the Quran exists, and we've mentioned this in a number of our programs. It exists by recitation. That's what Quran actually means. Coming to the English language, we should call it the recitation. Not literally the book, because the book that the Quran is from is actually a book with Allah. So this is also a book that we believe in. The book that's with Allah. That's the mother of all books. And it has everything in it. In fact, it says in one of the teachings of Muhammad that the first thing Allah created was the pen. And he commanded the pen to write. And the pen says, what shall I write? Write everything that's going to happen. So everything was written. The ink was dry. The pen's put up before Allah did any of the things that we know as creation, etc. So this is very clear because it helps us to understand some of the other points of the faith. But let's do this now. Let's turn to our audience again and take another question about these misconceptions of faith. Who next has a question for us?
Yes, I have one question.
Yes, brother.
My question is, what about prophets?
What about the prophets?
Okay. So what about the prophets? Like, what do we know of the prophets, or what should we know of the prophets?
One of the things I'd like to emphasize immediately is prophets are not like average human beings.
Okay.
In that Allah has given them guidance that is very special, and Allah makes sure that these prophets do what they're supposed to do by giving them the tools to work with, giving them the proper guidance along the way, but they still make choices too. But when it's all said and done, the example they leave behind is a perfect example of that message. The message each prophet comes with is that there's only one God, worship Him without any partners. But in Arabic, this word is actually not just one, but actually two separate words. One is Nabi. The plural is Anbiya. Any of those who come bring this message, calling the people to it, these would be prophets or Nabi, Anbiya. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad that is, tells us that Allah sent more than 124,000 prophets to these various nations. More than that. And all of them are considered prophets. But then there are those who are given a degree here of a little difference. That is, they receive revelation that is passed on. I'll give you an example of that. Abraham is one of those. David is one of those. Solomon is one of those. Moses is one. Jesus is one. And there are many others also who were sent with books, we'll say books or scripture. And the scripture they come with is from Allah, comes to them from Allah. And that is something that is so amazing, like the Quran, that if you have it in the original form, it becomes without doubt, clearly it must be from Allah. And as we've said before, we still have the Quran, and therefore Muhammad, peace be upon him, is considered one of these kinds of prophets. And their distinction is this: they're coming with this message, Risala, so they are a Rasul. In English, we use the word epistle, which means that kind of a message, and an apostle who comes with it. That's why you often see it translated as the Apostle Muhammad, peace be upon him, because he's the messenger of Allah. And we could go on and on about that, but I think we have another program. So suffice to say, we believe in all of these as being much higher than we are, especially like Jesus, for instance. He's in the top category, if you will, of human beings. But so is Muhammad, and so are these others. So we put all these prophets up very high, very high, very, very high. But we never put them in the category of being Allah or partners with Allah. So all of them are up high, but we take Jesus out of that category of being a god or a demigod or a son of a god. We put him with these high prophets. We make no distinction between them as great prophets. Abraham and Jesus to us are the same. Muhammad and Moses to us are the same. They're the highest, they're the best, and we do not disparage their character or say these evil things that some people have added into other books about them. We don't believe it to be true. Suffice to say, and move to the next question. Do we have another question?
Yes, sir, I have a question.
Yes.
You mentioned believing in the Day of Judgment.
Yeah.
What does it mean exactly to say, to believe in Day of Judgment?
Okay.
That's a good question. It might sound like an obvious question, but...
Yeah, well, what is the Day of Judgment? Actually, we have different days that we talk about. After you die, you go in your grave, and then you're resurrected and brought back up. So we believe in a resurrection itself. That the word Qiyam means to stand. Okay, so it's called Yawm, which is day. Qiyam, Yawmul Qiyamah, the day of standing. Now, in this regard, we believe that we're all brought back in a body. This is very important to know. We believe that we're brought back in a body, flesh and blood, able to walk around, move about, everything.
Same body, the same mind?
No, restored back in a perfect body. Not like if you'd lost a leg or something like this. I'm assuming from what I've heard that you'll have everything back again. Okay. So this is one thing. Another is that you will suddenly realize everything. But of course it's too late then to do anything about changing or to be better or anything like that. But definitely everybody's brought back. Now watch this. We don't believe that just Muslims are resurrected. We believe in full resurrection of every single human being. All are brought back. This is not the teaching in other religions. All of us are brought back, and all of us are in the same plane called the plane of Arafat. We're all there, and it's hot, and it's really, really tough. And we wait for this very long, it's called a long day. And then after that, there's another day. And this is a day now of reckoning. It's a separate day where you settle your accounts. You settle your accounts with Allah for what you've done. And if He forgives you, you're in good shape. But then another day to deal with is the day you're trying to get in the door of paradise. Now you have to settle your account with all the people that you damaged or hurt before you get in that door. But finally to get into the paradise, that's the whole goal. And of course, unfortunately, there are those who will not accept this message and they will ultimately wind up in hell.
So believing in the Day of Judgment, you need to believe in all the different stages.
Everything that goes with it. Everything, not just say, okay, there'll be a Day of Judgment and we'll be spirits floating around and just me and my friends are going to be resurrected. No, no, you have to believe it in the way that it says in the Quran and from the teachings of Muhammad.
And believing in the Day of Judgment, does that correspond with believing what happens in the grave also? Is that
everything.
Separate? The whole lot.
From the time you die until the time you make it to paradise. I hope we all make it to paradise. I mean. Okay. Let's take another question about the last pillar.
Yes, Sheikh. I'd like to ask you about predestination, which you mentioned. You even mentioned the jinn, and you said they have the free will. But a lot of people have this misconception about predestination.
Mm-hmm.
They say, like, what's the point? If everything's already preordained, what's my point on earth? If I'm here or not, well, I have no free will. So if you could explain about that.
The question itself proves that Prophet Muhammad was a true messenger, because he predicted in the last days that the Muslims themselves would be questioning this. He predicted that there would be these questions coming about predestination, although it's a done deal. It's called the Qadr of Allah, and it is that Allah created everything along with what's going to happen with everything. Everything that's going to happen to you is written before you're born. It's all there. And each person goes through their life not knowing what will happen. So they're making choices all along the way. That's why I said free choice instead of free will. None of us have the will. We think we do, but you really don't. Because if you could will something right now, what would you really will? Well, I'd like to have a nice new car. I'll will for that. Huh? And I don't know if I could will myself to be any cuter than I am, but if I could. Things that, you know, a human being would want. Yeah. And we can't do that. So obviously you don't have will. What you have is choice. You make a choice, but sometimes your choice doesn't work. And that is the secret to understanding the destiny. It means Allah knows, but you don't. Simple as that. If you want to give it in just a quick answer, Allah knows and you don't know. If you think about it for a minute, you realize, well, wait a minute. Then it doesn't matter the outcome. What matters is my intention. And Islam is teaching us that again and again and again. Mm. That if you have the good intention, you already have a reward for it. As soon as you have this good intention, you have the reward for it. So it doesn't really matter in the end if you were able to achieve all the things you wanted to do. I personally want to see a great television station for Islam in the world. I would love to have the great scholars coming and presenting Islam and people calling in and bringing their questions. This is my biggest goal. Will it happen? I don't know. But by having the intention for that, I hope Allah will give me the reward for that. Okay. And if the intention is sincere, really sincere for Allah, He will give you the reward whether you see it in this life or not. That's why it's so important when we give charity to do it with sincerity. Whenever we help somebody, don't do it to show off. Do it for Him. Whenever we're doing anything at all as a good deed, to be sure we do it for His sake and no other. Not to show off, not to get money, or increase our social status or any of those things.
Sheikh, it's all been very interesting. Just in the last minute, could you quickly summarize the pillars of Islam?
Again, we would say we believe in Allah, what Allah said about Himself in His book and what the Prophet said. Nothing more, nothing less. And we believe in the angels, that they always obey Allah completely and the devil is not of them. We also believe in the books of Allah in the original form. Okay?
That's very important.
Not translations.
That's very important.
Not corrupted versions, but only, and of course that's only leaves the Quran today, but the Quran mentions those other books and says what they used to say. And then we believe in the prophets. And we believe only good about them. We don't give these bad characters, characteristics to them. That's not acceptable. We believe completely in that day of judgment and all the things it entails. And finally, we believe in the predestination of Allah. He knows, He's controlling everything. You do your good deeds to get rewards for them. And if you make a mistake, of course, you repent to Him and ask for His mercy.
Okay, we've run out of time. Thank you so much, Sheikh, for being on this show of Misconceptions. This is the end of the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you ask me who my prophet is, I will say, haven't you heard? His name is Muhammad, a mercy to the worlds, a mercy to the worlds. If you ask me who my enemy is, I will say, don't you know? If you ask me who my enemy is, he's that same old devil, that same old devil.